that I'd like to present to you this afternoon from Moshed is breath is the medium between the outer life and the inner life. So I'm glad that we've all had a stretch now and we're ready to breathe. And to begin, I'd like to propose an experiment, which is to take in a deep breath and hold it and keep holding it without straining your lungs, without holding so long that you threaten to do harm to the delicate vessels in the lungs, but hold longer than you ordinarily would, and feel the sensation that results from containing the breath inside. And when you can't hold any longer, or it really isn't comfortable, and you're ready to let it go, then let that sigh come out and really feel it and sense the relief and the satisfaction that comes in releasing the breath. So just one breath like that. So perhaps when you held your breath, you may have discovered a sense of peace, because it feels like time stops and you're not doing anything. There's just this deep rest. Suspended. But then the sensation changes. Sense of pressure builds up and constraint. You feel the need to release the air, to let it out. And if you hold back, the pressure builds and builds. And finally, when you do let it out, there's pleasure in it, isn't there? So what we tasted here has something to do with the nature of reality itself. It relates to cosmology, the nature of created universe, because this body is a microcosm built on the divine image, which is why when we want to understand the nature of the encompassing reality, we do well to study ourselves. We need it for food. We like to have it every day, but we need it every month at least, at the very least. Water, we need more often. We should have it every day. Breath, we need every minute. Intrinsic, it's intrinsic to our life processes. And so it bespeaks something very basic in us. And therefore, the more that we study the way that breath works in us, the more clearly we can understand reality itself. Something so intrinsic both to ourselves and to the universe. So we see that our breath has three phases. One is the pause of the breath, when the breath is suspended. The other is the outflow of the breath. And thirdly is the influx. And each has a certain sensation associated with it. And in fact, it would be fair to say that there is a distinct satisfaction in each of these aspects of breath. There's a satisfaction in the quietude of holding the breath, but then when the breath has to come out, wonderful sense of relief. But that too cannot be carried on endlessly. Then satisfaction comes when the breath is drawn in again. So the suspension of the breath is our own approximation of eternity, the timeless state, the state before creation. And what follows thereafter? An exhalation. This whole manifestation, we must understand, is the exhalation of eternity. There is peace in the deep silence, but joy is also wanted. And joy becomes possible through the giving forth of what was hidden, the manifestation of the invisible in name and in form. And so reality itself breathes out. And this outgoing of the universal breath is cyclical and occurs at every level of scale. So the universe has a moment of inception that astrophysicists can trace, but in fact the universe is continuously renewed. The divine breath perpetually exhales and inhales. There's a constant cycle of birth and death, the outgoing of the breath, the indrawing of it. The outgoing of the breath is manifestation, expression, affirmation. It gives us name and form. The colors of the world are painted by it. The tones and rhythms that make up the music of the cosmos It's a celebration. And through it, the hidden names are sounded. And we ourselves, our lives, are the soundings of those names. They are the vocabulary of our life's journey. But then the breath turns and indraws, and multiplicity collapses back into unity. And in this too is satisfaction. This is the return, the resorption of attribute in essence. And it likewise occurs at every level of scale. On some future day, this solar system will collapse into the sun, the galaxies will be destroyed, and the universe itself will dissolve. In a great indrawing of breath, after which our knowledge of the rhythms of life, derived from the study of our own selves, shows us that another universe will follow. The breath will flow out again. And all the while, these little births and little deaths, manifestations and dissolutions. And we here find ourselves in the flux of it all. So when you held your breath and breathed out, perhaps you had a taste of that esh, cosmic emotion that is the enthusiasm behind all incarnation, that great current that swept the angels down from the innermost spheres, that swept our own souls through the plains, through the jinn plains, through the starry sky, and through the kingdoms and queendoms of the mineral and vegetal and animal and human realms. Those same forces are working upon us breath by breath. We see it in so many aspects of our life, in the diurnal cycle of waking in the morning, and then retiring and sinking into sleep at night, in the rising of spring, and in autumn's falling of the leaves, descent of the plant spirit into the roots, always the same cycle, which is the cycle of breath, recurring at every level of scale, right down to the most minuscule particles in our bodies, and right up to the architectonics of the stars. It's all breath flowing, drawing in, reaching out, creating, destroying. breaths. Silently draw in the breath. Then hold. And then exhaling. Let's do this one more time. First of all, exhaling together silently. Inhaling.
Hi.
sense your state from head to foot. Is the medium between the outer life and the inner life. So I've spoken about the divine breath that animates the universe and which resolves it. Let's consider also the planetary breath, which is eddy, little whirlwind within that great breath of infinite compassion, the atmosphere of this earth. What has become clear is that the earth's atmosphere represents the sum of the breaths of all of Earth's denizens. So it isn't that Earth has in it breathing beings because it has an atmosphere, but it has an atmosphere because it has breathing beings. The atmosphere is the sum of the interactions of all earthlings at the level of breath. And this atmosphere sustains us all. We depend upon it. So the exhalations of the green things of the earth infuse into the atmosphere oxygen that we in turn imbibe, and our carbon dioxide, the carbon dioxide of our bodies, is useful to the green beings. Microorganisms are involved, the oceans are involved. All of Earth's systems work together, the animate and so-called inanimate, elemental, vegetal, animal, breathing together and all sustained by this cooperation at the level of spirit. We know now that the composition of the atmosphere is undergoing an alteration due in significant measure to human activity. And this, of course, should be of concern to all of us. The balance in the atmosphere is the balance in our collective breath. So when we breathe, which is always, when we remember that we breathe, when we are conscious of the breath, it is meaningful to remind oneself of this communion, this mutual giving of life, because it helps us to overcome what is our perennial problem, an illusion of separation, of boundedness, an absolute barrier between the I inside and the you outside. Breath is the medium between the outer life and the inner life. The path concerns opening the door in the wall between the outer life and the inner life, between self and other, between visible and invisible. And breath does this naturally. You have only to watch it, to follow it. It comes in, it goes out, it circles through us. If we follow that circle, we'll be united with everything. This morning with the recognition that the path begins with the purification of the body. The next step is the purification of the breath. This is possible when the body attains a measure of calm, when there is no longer constant movement, when there can be stillness and silence. When the diet has in it enough balance so that there is an internal equilibrium and intoxicants are renounced so that a vigilant sobriety is awoken. In this way, one is prepared for the purification of the breath, which is more subtle. Until this stage, one hardly notices the breath. But now one can notice it when one is sufficiently still and silent. This is what shows itself. One is not in the habit of watching one's breath, one may not even register these sensations as they build until, as it were, the dam breaks. But if you're in the habit of attentively watching your breath, you see it happen step by step. You see the breath contract. You observe the tightening as it just commences. And then there's a chance to withdraw from the chain reaction that happens automatically unless one is able to insert an interval of awareness, watchfulness of the mind, watchfulness of the heart, watchfulness of the breath, to pause. It's like being pulled and you're holding onto a rope and that rope is being pulled away from you. And the tendency is to tighten your grip and you'll be pulled harder. But you have every possibility of releasing that rope. You don't have to follow it. And instead summoning a deep, clear breath that reaches right down to the soles of your feet, opening the pores of your skin. Let it pass through you, let it wash through you. So it's an art. Breathing well is an art. And that's what one learns on the path. And one learns it by practice, by ensuring that you have a time, at least once a day, dedicated to silently watching the breath, being still, and then reviving that attunement throughout the day periodically, so that you gain a deep acquaintance with the rhythm of your own breath. You can see where it's going. You see the natural movements that are indeed harmonious responses to circumstances, such as, for instance, the assertion of the jalal aspect of breath when that is needed. And jalal means assertive, powerful. If you need to perform a certain work, communicate a certain message, undertake some act, then that aspect of breath has to be dominant. Physically, it operates especially through the right nostril. In other circumstances, it's necessary for the breath to work, especially through the jamal channels, which is to say, passive, receptive, delicate. If one is listening, taking something in, bearing witness, or as part of a creative process for an artist, a poet, a musician, to be receptive to inspiration, that part of the breath is needed, and it functions especially through the left side. So you develop the ability to observe these modulations in the breath. Observe when your breath becomes chaotic, and then is the time to pause. One is tempted then to strike out when you're upset. Of course, there's such a great temptation to hurl a word, but that is the chance to pause when you know. That's the moment to draw, to sheathe one sword. Regain the balance of the breath, and then act. And it would be no exaggeration to say that when the breath is deep and balanced, whatever you do will be done rightly. And equally, when the breath is scattered and constricted, whatever you do will falter. So one learns one's own breath, how to use it, and then you begin also to notice the breath of other people. As it is, this happens unconsciously, but when one learns the art of the breath, it becomes more conscious. But one speaks of a person's atmosphere. As soon as you meet someone, it isn't simply the way that person looks, it's something in the atmosphere, in the rhythm and tone of the being that makes an impression. And in perceiving this, you're helped to harmonize. If you find yourself confronting a chaotic atmosphere, a presence that has roiled, well, if you don't see that clearly, you could be drawn into it, and before long you'll be confused and caught up in that agitation. But if you sense here is what is here, then there's a certain spaciousness with which you can approach that situation. Your own breath need not succumb to every influence, which happens when the breath is not strong enough. It's like being buffeted by waves, by winds, strong winds blowing you this way and that. One's very life can drift like that for a long time under so many different influences that send you here or there. I tell you, reclaim your own breath. Then you can listen, witness, harmonize without succumbing to every passing influence. These last minutes, let us again close our eyes. so the chest can rise up. Trace the straight line of your spine from the tailbone all the way up to the top of the head. Linking earth and heaven. First of all, just sense the air around you, the breeze blowing in the room, how it glides over your skin. Rather than only filling up the chest, after your chest rises, let your belly rise too. And then let the chest rise still more. Give all of your attention to the successive inhalations. The breath passes through the linings of the lungs into the bloodstream. disgorge their burden. The superfluity is swept out, swept through the blood, swept through the lungs, and breathed out. This great release of what is extraneous, which simplifies life, exhalation to its very end. Releasing every last particle of breath to become entirely empty. In because the emptiness in you draws in the breath. Flows in, renews your body, recreates you. Each recreation is only of an instant. This too must be abandoned so that another breath, another life may come. And this is the secret to immortality. To cling to what is spent is to die. To receive life after life is to live forever. This influx of oxygen and outflux of spirit itself converges and dissipates. And this respiration of the subtle body continues even when the physical breath ceases. The surface of the breath. The depth. Is the perpetual renewal of the life of the soul within the divine being. Simply witness the rhythm of your breath as you breathe out and then breathe in, as your exhalation lengthens, your inhalation deepens. Increasingly resounding rhythm is both peace and exhilaration. Waves crashing on the shore, advancing and withdrawing, perpetually pounding out a pulse. It carries power, but also an otherworldly tranquility. Purify and revivify us, and we pray, heal our bodies, hearts, and souls. I'd like to invite you, Ayakin, if you would come to lead us in grace.